Welcome to the Theology Mom Podcast, hosted by theologian Krista Bontrager. Each week, Krista provides practical teaching to help everyday Christians gain a deeper understanding of their faith. And now, here's Krista.
Well, happy Easter to everyone. Happy Easter Monday. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are watching me from around the world. Thank you for joining me for this week's teaching. I am Krista Bontrager. I am a Christian theologian and public apologist, and this is the channel where I offer teaching about the Bible as well as theological commentary on social issues. So this is part 6 of an extended teaching series that I have been doing this year that I've entitled Everyday Evangelism. So far, just to get you caught up with things, we've talked about some of the reasons, possibly some of the excuses that people use to not engage in faith conversations with others. We also did a deep dive exploring the question, what is the good news? Then we talked last time about some practical strategies to help you organize your evangelism efforts. And in this episode, we are going to go over 5 practical strategies that I've come up with to help you have better, more productive conversations about the faith. And so because I do believe it is the duty of every Christian to be prepared to share their faith with others, I wanted to share these 5 specific steps to help you navigate basic discussions about the faith. And these are strategies that I have used in my life over and over again and found them to be helpful and reliable over the years. So there's a fair amount of road testing that has gone into them. The next week, I think I'm going to give some attention to coaching you through some of the tougher situations that can arise as you are in conversations about the faith. So you can look for that. Well, let's get into this. Step number one, as we are trying to have conversations about the faith, the first step is prepare. You do want to have an amount of preparation for the conversation as kind of is an anticipation for what's coming. And as we talked about in the last teaching, you want to take some time to be in a conversation with the Lord about the 8 to 15 people that He has strategically and supernaturally placed in your life. You want to write those names down. Put that list where you're going to see it daily so you can be in prayer for those people as you are praying. And this is where the preparation comes in, is you want to be asking the Lord for His direction for each of those people. So you want to ask the Lord, hey, what are you up to in this person's life? And begin to listen to what He has to say. Maybe ask the Lord if He would be willing to let you be part of that person's faith journey or that person's journey coming back to the faith or strengthening their faith. Ask the Lord for what level of involvement He has for you with each of your 8 to 15 people. And as you are on the road of prayer with the Lord, also ask Him if there are any particular topics right now that you should be preparing for and learning about in order to get you ready to have a conversation with that person. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 15, it says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. And that's from the New International Version. So I do think that preparation is the first step, actually, to a conversation. And I truly believe that when we are prepared, the Lord will send people. If you want to share your faith more, take steps to be more prepared. Ask him for wisdom about what area or areas he wants you to prepare in. And let me just give you one very practical example of this. So often I talk to people or I see online people mention that they have a stack of like 15 books by their nightstand in their to-be-read pile. Well, I would like to suggest a strategy for how to tackle that to-be-read pile. Ask the Lord which book or books that you should read first. Ask the Lord for his ordering of the books. Which book, because God knows everything, so he knows what conversations are coming up for you. So which book or books will prepare you for the conversation that's on the horizon that maybe you don't even know about yet? It could be somebody who's in your 8 to 15, or it could be a random stranger that he wants to help you bump into for some kind of supernatural strategic encounter. And so ask the Lord for his priority of how to make your way through your to-be-read pile of books. Okay, so that's our first step in the process of how to have more productive conversations about the faith. That is preparation. And preparation can both include prayer as well as homework. Okay, now this brings us to number two. The second thing to do to help you to have more productive conversations about the faith is ask the Lord for wisdom in the conversation itself. Now, let me explain what I mean by this. When I suddenly find myself in a situation where there is an opportunity to talk about the faith, the first thing I want to do is slow down. And that process begins with me slowing down, my own internal thoughts and thinking and messages happening inside my head. Instead of jumping ahead and thinking about all the wonderful and profound things that I can't wait to say to the other person, what I really want to do first is slow down and ask the Lord for wisdom about what to do in this conversation. So what I'll do is just silently kind of go inside myself, have a little conversation with the Lord while this thing is still happening out here in the real world or in the natural world. And I'll silently ask the Holy Spirit to give me the wisdom to know what to say in this situation. One of the questions that we usually ask the Holy Spirit is, Holy Spirit, is this a situation you even want me to step into? Like, I see some potential here. I see that something could happen of a spiritual nature, a spiritual conversation. But is this even something you want me to step into, Holy Spirit? Because you'd be surprised. Sometimes I feel like, you know, I hear him say, no, the person isn't ready yet, but I'm getting them ready. Or they're not quite ready or something, but the fact that I can see that the person is wrestling with certain questions or issues related to the things of the Lord, this encourages me to keep praying for this person and keep remembering them in my prayers, and that the Holy Spirit may be getting them ready for a conversation in the future. And that gives me more time to maybe study up on something to get ready for something in the future. Now, if I'm praying that prayer of Holy Spirit, is this a situation you want me to step into? If I hear yes, then I have to be willing to take that step of faith. And I'm going to be honest with you, like sometimes my conversations can be very clumsy. I'm not always the most natural conversationalist. And Sometimes I have to ask the Lord for help. Sometimes, you know, I'll ask him things like, Lord, just please give me the words. Holy Spirit, you know everything about this person. You know exactly where they're at in their journey. Help me to be a good steward of this moment. And I am really placing all of my faith, hope, and confidence in the Holy Spirit to partner with me in whatever he is doing in that situation. Actually, I'm really partnering with him. And there are some times when I have taken that step of faith and the Holy Spirit has asked me to do some crazy things. Thankfully, it's not all the time, but there's been a few key moments where, the Lord has, I found myself suddenly in a situation where I'm like, okay, I wasn't expecting this, but it does seem like this is something the Holy Spirit wants me to step into. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. So I'll just tell you one kind of crazy story. And again, this doesn't happen to me every day, but occasionally this happens. So one time a few years ago, I was standing in line at a FedEx shop, and I was waiting to mail a package for my job. And the guy behind the counter, he was a young guy, and I'm just standing there waiting to get my help with my package, you know, no big deal. And all of a sudden, like, my mind is just flooded with, like, empathy for this guy that I don't even know. I've never met him. And then I'm feeling like the Lord really wants me to share something with him. And I'm thinking, I'm sort of in an argument with the Lord, like, hey, I'm in a FedEx shop here. I got a couple of my coworkers with me. I don't want them to laugh at me. And you want me to talk to this guy right now? Like, I don't even know. And so I'm standing there in line trying to kind of ask the Lord for a game plan. What am I supposed to say? I'm not really sure. I'm very nervous. I feel very self-conscious. I feel a little bit possibly embarrassed because my coworkers are watching me. So when it was my turn to go up to the counter and have the young man help me with my package, I'm trying to make small talk with this guy and trying to get something going. And he's taping my package. I was so nervous. And I'm thinking, how do I even get this going? And right in that moment, I realized I'm being faced right now with a moment of obedience or disobedience. And I'm not going to lie, like, the chicken exit was looking mighty appealing to me at that moment. But when we were all done with the business, and I saw that there was nobody behind me, there were no other customers waiting, I just said real quick, hey, I don't have any idea about anything about you, but I'm a Christian, and I believe in God, and I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And I really felt like while I was standing in line here that the Heavenly Father just wants me to tell you how much he loves you. And I don't know if you were raised in the church or anything. I kind of am sensing that maybe you were, but I have a feeling that somebody like your mom or your grandma has been praying for you for a really long time now. And I guess I just want to tell you that if you ever want to turn back to the Lord, if you ever want to turn back to God or go back to church, it's not too late. God really loves you very, very much. Just turn away from whatever sin you're doing and just run back to God, and he will accept you. And I was clumsy and I was horribly nervous, but that was sort of the gist of what I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with him. And this young man just starts crying. And he says, thank you very much for saying that. I've been wondering what to do. And so I just kind of reset it again so it would kind of stick with him, and told him, you know, again, to turn away from whatever it was he was doing, whatever the sin was, and turn to God. And I wished him well, and I left. I was so nervous. I didn't even think like, oh, maybe I should have prayed with him. I probably should. But I was so nervous. And I didn't get him to pray the sinner's prayer at the end. And, you know, I have no idea what happened to this young man. We didn't exchange phone numbers or anything. But maybe on that one day, you know, I was just a farmer who came along at the right time. And and planted a seed. And God had a plan to bring some other Christian along and take it from there or do something else to maybe some little thing I did to prepare that young man for the next guy that God was going to bring along. I have no idea. Maybe someday I'll know when I go to heaven. But on that day, that's what evangelism looked like. Now, again, this kind of thing doesn't happen to me every day, but occasionally it does happen. And I do find that the more that I obey, the more it happens for me. And the only thing I can attribute that to is kind of a Luke 10 situation of the harvest is ripe and God's willing, looking for willing harvest workers. And if you show up, you know, he'll meet you in that and good things are going to happen. So that's just one example. But I get it that, you know, when you prepare, like I said, in step one, you know, that's kind of preparing you and your heart and orienting you toward the things of the Lord. And then when you get to step two and you find out like, oh, I'm in a situation right now, what am I going to do? What you really want to do is orient your heart toward, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? Now, as hard as it was for me to talk to that stranger in the FedEx store, I recognize that it is even harder for many of us to talk to the people in our 8 to 15. And I think this is because we often have a lot of emotions about the people in our 8 to 15 because we want to stay connected with them. We don't want to ruin the relationship if the conversation doesn't go well or if we make a mistake. And I get it. Those concerns are real and they're valid. And yes, it is hard. And hopefully some of the conversational strategies that I'm going to unfold for you in this teaching today as well as next week will help you out in some of those types of situations. Okay, step number three. So our first one was preparation. Then it was slow the conversation down and listen to the Lord. So now our third step is to gather more data before answering a question. Okay, so we really want to, again, we're trying to slow the discussion down. When someone initiates asking a faith-related question, one of the most common mistakes that I see people make is jumping in really quickly to try to offer an answer. I have done many, many public Q&As over the last 20 plus years, and doing all of those Q&As has taught me this very important skill that is also applicable if you're in one-on-one conversations, and that is to slow down and ask at least two questions before you offer any kind of answer to a person's question. And the reason I do this is because no matter what question the person asks me, I am going to need more data before getting into the answer. I've just found this to be true over the years. So I have learned that the question the person is asking me is almost never the actual question. And I want to slow things down enough so that I get to the actual question. So the two questions that I usually ask before answering a question is, first I ask, let me see if I understand your question. I'm going to say it back to you, and then you can offer me any corrections of where I get it wrong. And then I will try to say it back to make sure I've got it, especially if the question is kind of rambly and meandering. I'll try to just get it succinctly down to one sentence. Doing this step, always I can see it in the person's face. It alerts them that I truly care about them. And it helps to create an environment where they're starting to feel like they're going to be heard. And I'm not just going to mow them over with an answer. The second question that I usually ask is, can you tell me why this is an important issue of concern for you? And this is where I get the most data. So for example, for the last several years, I did a monthly Q&A time at the local rescue mission. And one of the most common questions I would get is some variation of, why does God allow bad things to happen to good people? And so I would usually ask permission, hey, would it be okay if I ask a clarifying question about that? And they would almost always say yes. And it usually caught them a little bit off guard because they're not used to somebody asking a clarifying question. But, you know, they would usually say yes. And then I'd ask them, why is this question important to you? Why do you want to know this answer? And that's when it usually would be revealed why the answer matters. My sister died of cancer and I can't get over it. Or I was abused as a young child. Where was God when that happened? Or I'm trapped in an abusive marriage or something. And so what you have to learn is that the question, the intellectual question of why does pain, evil, and suffering happen in the world, is really almost like a cover story a lot of the time, not all the time, but a lot of the time, is a cover story for some internal issue or pain or life situation. And that is what I want to get to, is what is behind the question. Now I'm getting some valuable data about this person. I know more about their emotional state. I know more about what's at stake for them emotionally in this question and that sort of a thing. So that's kind of my process, again, when somebody is initiating a question to me. Now, what about a situation where I feel like the Lord might be creating an opening in a conversation and I want to try to see if I can steer the conversation with some level of intentionality towards spiritual things, but I'm not really sure how to do that, and I'm looking for a good transition. That's where it's really helpful if you have a question or two in your back pocket that can act as a bridge or a transition in the conversation. And here's a few questions I want to share with you to help inspire you, but as you experiment, you'll find your own questions that'll work for you. These are just some of the ones that I like to use. But don't think of this as a formula. Think of this as, you know, some things to make you think about it. But if I'm trying to transition a conversation to more spiritual things, some of the things I like to ask is, if I don't know what else to say, and I just need like some baseline thing that I could swim to that's really easy in a conversation, is I'll just say, you know, I believe Jesus hears and answers prayers. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Almost always people will allow that. It's very seldom, like I think there was a situation where my husband and I tried to pray for some Jehovah's Witnesses and they wouldn't let us do that. But almost always people will allow you to pray for them. And so just pray with them right there on the spot. My husband and I prayed with people on street corners, like at gas stations, just all kind of places. And you can do that just right there on the spot. You can ask somebody, what are your spiritual beliefs, or how did you grow up? Did you grow up in a church? What's your spiritual background? And you can ask them that. And then they're just kind of giving information about themselves. And that's just more data that can really be helpful to you. This is another one I like to try, is if you could sit with Jesus over a cup of coffee, and you could ask him anything, what would you want to ask him? Oh, wow. This question gets so many reactions. It gives you so much helpful and revelatory information about this person. And you really start to learn like what their spiritual hangups are. If you could just sit with Jesus over a cup of coffee and you could ask him anything you wanted, what would you ask him? Very, very powerful question to help explore or to see or transition a conversation into spiritual things. Obviously, you can also ask, depending on the situation, you can ask, well, you know, you keep talking about Jesus. Who is Jesus to you? What do you know about him? Have you ever read the Bible? What the Bible says about Jesus? and that sort of thing. So there's other ways to do it, but those are some of the questions that I have found very effective. Okay, so let's review real quick. We're talking about five steps to help take your evangelism type conversations to a new level, to help them be more successful, to help you navigate them with other people. So first we said, prepare. Prepare yourself by making your list of 8 to 15 people in your life that God has strategically and supernaturally placed in your life, praying for them regularly, and then preparing yourself with study of the questions that they are wrestling with. If you don't know what they're wrestling with, ask the Lord to help you know what to prepare for. Second, we said, ask the Lord for help in the conversation, and then trust him to help you and obey and do whatever he tells you to do in the conversation. Third is slow the conversation down. Ask a couple of clarifying questions before launching into any kind of explanation or answering of questions. Okay, number four, be a quality listener. As I'm gathering this data and as I'm listening to their answers to these preliminary questions, I want to practice being a quality listener. That is number four in our conversational strategies. Okay, whenever you ask questions, listen to the answer. Now, I realize this might seem obvious, but quality listening is actually very hard to do because listening is much more than just being quiet. It's much more than just hearing the other person talk. Quality listening involves things like eye contact, head nodding, short acknowledgement statements like, oh, wow, I imagine that was hard, or I imagine that was painful or scary. Can you tell me more about that? It involves tracking with what the other person is saying, occasionally maybe summarizing what their big idea is, especially if it's what they're saying seems very rambly to you. Helping to sharpen the conversation by offering a summary of the main idea statement can be very helpful. I have found that helps to keep the conversation on track. And sometimes I'll say, well, let me kind of summarize what I've heard you say so far, like what your main point is. And then you can correct me if I got anything wrong. Quality listening helps the person feel valued, but it also helps me stay active in the conversation and gives me valuable data about issues I need to address. I'm standing there like kind of taking some mental notes. Oh, we might need to talk about that issue. Or, oh, that's an interesting question. If you spend all of your time just waiting for the other person to be quiet so you can start talking again, then you are not engaging in quality listening. And I know this is a great temptation. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to work with you in this area. When I was really learning how to be disciplined in this, there were many conversations where I almost didn't even participate in terms of me offering my thoughts. I simply had to practice listening for their thoughts and restating it back to them. And I had to learn that discipline over time. So, and as you are engaging in quality listening, also don't forget about step number two, where you're talking to the Lord and you're listening to what the Lord is highlighting for you and telling you about the situation or things that you might have to address with the person, or maybe even what their real question is if they can't articulate it. So you're kind of doing two things at once. You're listening for the Lord, you're asking clarifying questions, and you're engaging in quality listening. Okay. That brings us to step number five, and that is to answer questions with strategic questions. So this is a very powerful technique, and it requires a lot of self-discipline, but it is something that you can learn over time. But it is an important step if you're going to have more productive conversations with others about the faith. You need to learn how to answer questions with strategic questions. Now, let me explain what I mean with this. We aren't immediately jumping into a mini sermon as we're answering the person's question. Rather, this is the step where you are demonstrating how well you have been listening. So after you've engaged in some quality listening and you feel like you have a really good handle on their main issue or their main concern or their main idea, then you don't even at that point want to start answering their question. Rather, now you want to think of a strategic question or two that will get them to think more deeply about their position. Okay? So you are going to begin to answer their question or their objection about the faith with another question. And this requires a level of concentration and intentionality and quality listening and listening to the Lord. So this is something to learn over time. But when we ask a question that can help the other person clarify their own views, even if they're attacking my views, I just ignore all of that as noise. I don't even really pay attention to the attacks. I just sort of tune it all out. Rather, I'm wanting to help them consider more deeply what it is that they actually believe. And in my experience, a well-placed question can accomplish far, far more than a direct answer. And this is especially true when we are about to go into a conversation that I know very little about, all right? And so if all I can accomplish in that discussion is to help the other person reflect more deeply on what they believe, to me, it's still a successful discussion. For example, let's say someone wants to corner me about what I believe on the doctrine of hell. Now, I have some basic understanding of the doctrine of hell, but there's a lot of the finer points and details that I haven't researched. And I don't know a ton about it. It's not an area of expertise for me. Now, if you want to talk to me about something related to creation or science, those are areas I'm super well-read in, and we could have those conversations all day. But let's say I see on the horizon, this person wants to talk about eternal conscious punishment. Okay, I can't phone a friend right now. I'm in the conversation. What am I going to do? Well, after I've asked my couple of clarifying questions at the beginning, now I want to think about what's my strategic question that I'm going to ask back to them to help them clarify their own position first. Well, I can ask, well, can I ask first before we get into like some of my thoughts about hell, can you tell me more about what you believe about hell? I'd like to understand more about where this question is coming from or why this is important to you. If that person, in as part of their answer, starts to reveal that they're an atheist who thinks hell is ridiculous and they don't even believe in it, well, then I can start asking questions like, oh, that's interesting. How did you arrive at that conclusion? Well, then I might find out like a bunch of backstory of how they grew up as a Catholic, or they had a really they sat through a really scary sermon as a child about hell or something, and I'm going to get more data. Or let's say the person asks me why God allows evil things like the Holocaust to happen. I can say, oh, that's an interesting question. What do you believe about why evil, pain, and suffering happens? What are your thoughts about it? You would honestly, I am continually surprised at how often people haven't really reflected very deeply about their own beliefs. And they'll appeal to some things like consensus, like, well, we've just progressed to this part. Now a majority of people believe this. And then you can say, well, you know, well, how do we know if that's true? Or how do we know that that's good? And then you have a lot of space to really ask meaningful questions to help them probe and bring clarity to their own belief system. So answering a question with a question helps to surface their own assumptions. Now, this can be very confusing for them, so be prepared for that. They've often never thought about it before. This can be frustrating for them because they don't know, or they don't know how to put it into words, and that's okay. You don't have to pressure them. Just tell them to take their time and just say, I'm just curious, and I really want to understand where you're coming from in this, and empathize with them. But this is the added benefit of taking all the pressure off you to start playing the Bible answer man, and puts the pressure on them so that they're carrying some of the weight of the responsibility in the conversation. And it shifts the burden of the response in part to them. And it can really help communicate non-verbally, though, to them that you're a strong person. You're not trying to be difficult or disrespectful, but you aren't also going to be just pushed around. And so by answering a question, their question, with a strategic question that helps them think through their position even more, is a very, I have found to be a very effective tactic. Now, another way of handling situations like this is to answer actually a different question than the one that they're asking. For example, if the person is asking about the problem of pain and evil and suffering, I might ask them back, well, is there a particular situation that you are dealing with that troubles you? Or is there a particular issue in history that troubles you? And so I'm taking it from this big general question to a specific issue. And I'm starting to get more data on what their specific concern is. But I'm going to tell you, if you use this tactic, be prepared that they could tell you a very sad story. It is not uncommon, especially when you're talking about issues of pain and suffering, that if you ask them, well, is there a particular situation that you have in mind that troubles you? They're going to tell you a sad story about their childhood or sometime when they felt like God wasn't there for them. So be prepared to listen, be prepared to empathize or understand, and really try to endure their painful story. Hopefully it won't be too rambly and too long. Ask the Lord for help and knowing if you need to get an exit or cut it off or whatever, or how to summarize it. But you could respond by saying, you know, I'm so sorry that happened to you. Sometimes I say, you know, God doesn't tell us even in the Bible, like everything about every situation or why certain situations happen or show up that way. And then I sometimes will follow it up with, you know, there are some things that I do know about God and that have helped me when I've gone through difficult situations. Would you be interested in hearing any of those things that have been helpful to me? If they say yes, great. You can talk to them about prayer. You can talk about, you know, reading your Bible or worship songs or going to have coffee with a friend or whatever it is that's helped you get through those rough seasons and share those things with them. You could also ask them something like, well, do you have the kind of faith that you feel like can really help you deal with this situation? That's a very revelatory question. I have sometimes done something like, you know, sometimes people can be comforted through prayer. Would you mind if I prayed for you right now? And then I'm trying my best to kind of enter into their pain or their difficulty a little bit. In other words, we're trying to find a way to connect with them in the middle of their faith question, and to, rather than just letting things devolve or simply slip into a place of being argumentative or correcting, we're trying to find a way to connect. And that's not to say that we don't ever get around to saying the truth or having the hard conversation about doctrine, but we want to be in a conversation with the Lord about what's happening and, you know, helping to navigate those tricky moments as people are in the discussion. Because while questions about the faith are there, in my experience, they're almost always cover stories for something else. And if you can get to the something else, then you can help them navigate the apologetics type question. But you're doing it from a place of like, hey, I see you. I see the pain that you're in. Let's walk through this together and that sort of thing. And if I'm able, you know, maybe try to provide like a short summary of a contrast between what they believe and what the Bible says or what I believe about God. And, you know, I might say something, again, if the topic is the pain, evil, and suffering in the world, I might say something like, you know, from a Christian point of view, we would say that horrible things happen to people because humans are deeply sinful. And some sinful humans do deeply wicked and horrible things to others. But for me, I rest in the belief that someday God will make sure that people who have hurt other people in very profound ways will be punished according to what they deserve, even if they aren't punished in this life. That God will, he is just and he will work these things out. That's about it. That's a paragraph. It's not a 5-minute long sermon. It's very short and succinct statement about what we as Christians believe. I found that to be a fairly effective way of handling it, especially in the beginning, as I'm starting to have these faith conversations with people. So when I do offer answers to questions, I try to make them very, very brief, not comprehensive, and I don't accept the pressure or the burden that I must answer every jot and tittle that they want me to answer until they are satisfied. So bottom line, if you find yourself taking more time answering questions than asking questions, that should be a red flag to you about how you're engaging with the person. Now, when you are using this technique of answering questions with a question, there is a way of doing this that can be very sinful and turn it into like gotcha questions. And that's not what I'm talking about. If you are trying to make the conversation into one where you're trying to trap the person with your questions, then your heart may not be in the right place. And you want to sound, you know, more like Jesus than you do a used car salesman or a lawyer, you know. So you really want to have your heart in a posture of humility. And like it said in 1 Peter chapter 3 that we read earlier, of gentleness, respect, and a clear conscience. So as we round out this teaching today, I want to say a quick word about how to close out a conversation. I want to encourage you not to make conversion the goal. Conversion can be like the big goal or faith renewal or whatever, but make the short-term goals, the incremental goals, one of winning another conversation. And that should be the real goal, the micro goals, if you will, as you are going along. So, you know, maybe don't get into like hour-long, super deep discussions on spiritual things in the beginning. Maybe the other person isn't quite ready for that, unless you really believe that that's what the Holy Spirit's up to, or maybe that person's inviting you into that because they had deep questions. Great, step into it. But when you're in the beginning, like if you make the goal conversion, like you got to say the prayer, We got to get baptized, whatever it is. They might not be quite ready for that. And so make the goal that they're willing to give you another hearing on another day. You know, it's what I call winning another conversation. And sometimes winning another conversation usually means it's not, everything's not going to be all wrapped up neatly, where we've reached agreement and everything is settled. And that's okay. Sometimes people need time to go away and think and process and give them that space and trust the Lord to do something. Trust the Lord to change their mind. That's not your job. Your job is to show up, be prepared, have prayed, listen to what the Lord wants you to do in the conversation and do your best. But people need to be in their own process, and the Lord is in charge of that. So don't feel like you have to, you know, close the sale, if you will, all right? Trust the Lord to do his thing. I have a close family member that I've mentioned before who's a member of the LDS Church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we've been in faith conversations for several years now, and it has taken many conversations. But he is now to the place where he clearly understands some of the key differences between what I call my side of the street and his side of the street. But that was not accomplished in one conversation. We didn't get there in one conversation. It's been several years of several conversations over time. And my goal in every discussion was not to nuke the relationship. It was to, you know, ask a few strategic questions, allow him to take the lead with asking other questions, and that I didn't answer everything. I didn't fall into that pressure to answer everything, but trusting the Lord that the Lord is up to something. The Lord is doing something. I'm not in control of that. Winning another conversation might mean just as simple as asking them if they're willing to get together again and continue the discussion. That could be a structured thing by saying, would you be willing to read a book with me or watch a video? And then we could come back and have coffee and talk about the book or the video. But if you do that, be prepared that they might want you to read a book on their side of the street or watch a video from their point of view. Winning the next conversation might even mean sometimes asking for forgiveness if you didn't show up to the conversation very well. I had to do this once with my family member, my LDS family member. The Lord brought it to my mind after we had had a conversation, and then I hadn't heard from him in a few months, and I thought, huh, I wonder what's going on. I wonder how come I haven't heard from him. And when we did finally get together, the Lord brought to my mind, like, I need to apologize for something I said in the last conversation. And that's why he hasn't been reaching out to me, is because he had hurt feelings about that. And so when we got together, I apologized and I asked him, you know, like, did this create hard feelings for you when I said this? And he said, yeah. And even though what I said to him was doctrinally correct, the way that I went about it and the way I said it was very much like a gotcha type of situation. And I kind of weaponized it against him in that way. And it resulted in him having, you know, a lot of hurt feelings about it, that I hadn't treated him with gentleness and respect. And when I apologized, we were able to talk it through. And I just found out recently that actually that discussion led to some really good fruit, because it became a breakthrough in our conversations, that he got clarity that when we use certain terms that are the same, we actually are using very different dictionaries and have different definitions of these terms. And so the Lord helped redeem that situation for some good. But make the goal winning another conversation. Don't make the goal conversion. Let the Lord work on that, okay? Because that will help relieve some pressure, and it will help you stay focused on, hey, I'm not in control here. This is the Lord's doing, and I am not trying to do this in the flesh and of my will to try to force something to happen, to make something happen, okay? All right. With that, I want to leave you with just a mention. I'm not saying you have to run out and buy this book, but if you feel like it would help you, it's a book that I think kind of encapsulates a lot of the tips that I've been sharing today in a different way. I mean, what I came up with was my own structure here, but I did find this book helpful. And so I do want to share it with you. It's called Questioning Evangelism, and it's by a guy named Randy Newman. And I assume he's not the singer, but it's called Questioning Evangelism, the third edition, Engaging People's Hearts the Way Jesus Did. And he just kind of goes through the use of questions in evangelism and how to strategically do that. And I think that it's a very helpful and practical book. If I was teaching a class on evangelism, I would probably use this as one of the textbooks. I think it is a genuinely helpful book. So if you want to check that out and further some of these themes, you can do that. He also has some helpful videos on YouTube. So if you don't want to buy the book, you can listen to some of his practical strategies. Just look for Randy Newman, Conversational Evangelism or Questioning Evangelism on YouTube. Okay, I'm going to put a bookmark there in it for this week. Next week, Lord willing, I'm going to continue this discussion. We'll talk more about conversational strategies and how to handle some of the more antagonistic situations that can come up. I'll try to help coach you through some of those. And I do hope that you will share this teaching with a friend, maybe watch it with your spouse or your teens. I also hope that you are finding this series genuinely helpful. You'll send me your feedback about it, other topics you would like me to cover related to evangelism. I'm going to be teaching on this throughout the month of April. We'll probably take a little break from it in May and cover some other issues related to church leadership and women in ministry, and then maybe finish up the series in June. We'll see how all of that works out. But that's kind of what's happening on the horizon. So with that, I will hope you have a great week and God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe to the Theology Mom podcast and add your review. You can also follow Krista at Theology Mom on Facebook and YouTube. Join Krista for more theology adventures on the All the Things show, co-hosted with Monique Dusan. Thanks for listening.